It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Oh, how cute is that? A very good afternoon to you. It is Brenda here. I am in for Ray for the day. You can text me 51551, email ray@rt.ie, or tweet me at Brenda Donahue. Well, were you? Were you shopping today? Did you get anything? What did you buy? Did you get that endorphin hit? You know, when you leave the shop and you're carrying all those bags. Well, did you? Tell me everything. And before we get going with the show, I have some flaking news. Yes, the beloved flake, the one that makes the 99 a 99, is in short supply. I know. I'm surprised as well. And of course, it's because of Brexit. For all the shops that sell 99 ice creams, there's been a massive scramble to stock up on Cadbury's flakes. So what is going on? Could this actually be true? If you sell ice cream, whether it's in a tub or a cone, out there, are you listening to me? Have you actually encountered problems with your flake supply? Will you be able to meet the demand for 99s all over the summer? Or is this all flake news? Do you get it? Anybody gets it? Anyone laughing? No, not outside. Anyway, I saw it first, Aoife Kearns wrote about in the Irish Examiner. Conor Pope will be with us later with the scoop. Do you get it? Anyway, what would a summer be without a 99 and a flake? Tell me what you think. If you've experience of this, we'd love to hear from you. So how are you feeling today? Anyway, are you vaxxed or waxed? I'm neither. Is that TMI? Yeah, probably is. Anyway, this weekend, there were lots of pictures all across social media of people getting their vaccinations or with a fresh hairdo or getting out to the beach for a walk. And of course, my favourite were all those fabulous hugs with grandparents and grandkids. And I want to know, what is the most normal thing that you have done since some of these restrictions have been eased? For me, I think it kind of hit me yesterday afternoon. I was pottering around the kitchen and Sunday Sport was on, and they were doing that thing where they go around all the different grounds and they check in on the matches, so the hurling and the Gaa, and everything was back, and that just felt so normal. But tell me, what is normal to you? 51551. And also, as I said at the top, it is a landmark day for the retail 280,000 sector employees all around the country, as non-essential shops have opened today for the first time in over 4 months. Now, we would like to help mark this by giving any local businesses out there, businesses even, a shout out during the show. Let us know the name of your business, where you are, what you're selling, what your special is today, and we will do our best to give it a mention this afternoon. Kind of a roll call. Text 51551, email ray@rte.ie. I think that's something we'd love to do. And we all want to support local businesses, including all the local bookshops, because bookshops have reopened today. And for some people, and I know you're looking at me out there going, it couldn't be, but for some people, it is more exciting than clothes or hair. And it's the summer soon. So if you have a good book recommendation, let me know, and do support your local bookshop and any local businesses. Again, we'd love to do a roll call and support you today if you're reopening, and particularly the staff. Tell us what you're selling, where you are, who you are, 51551, or email ray@rte.ie. Busy show today. As I mentioned, we'll have Conor Pope on in a little while, pricewatch@rte.ie. Talented, funny, with golden locks. No, that's not Conor Pope. That is, in fact, Chloe Agnew. She'll be chatting to me after four. And I have my Love Island water bottle in with me today, because Dr. Alex George will be talking to me, yes, talking to me, about his new book, Live Well Every Day. And of course, after four, we'll have, yes, it's the quiz of the day. Today, the 17th of May, we've brought together the questions on events which have happened this day over the years, the decades, the centuries, big news stories, scientific breakthroughs, movies, TV shows, songs, births, deaths. And we need two people to answer five questions each. And our prize this week comes from the Carlton House Hotel to celebrate the reopening of Carlton House as Ireland's first Fairmount-managed hotel. We'll give him one lucky listener the chance to win a two-night stay with breakfast on both mornings and a dinner on the night of your choice in the quaint and atmospheric settings of Kathleen's Kitchen, one of the resort's newest eateries. Catlin's Kitchen, that sounds lovely, doesn't it? Just sitting down for the evening. From tutored wine tasting, afternoon tea served in the house, rejuvenating treatments at Carlton House Spa and Wellness, or golfing on one or two of their championship golf courses. There are countless experiences to choose from when you stay at Carlton House. www.carltonhouse.com for more information. But we need two people to enter the quiz. Well, loads to enter the quiz, but we'll pick two people. And this is the qualifying question. So are you ready? In which Irish county would you find the town of Loughrea? In which Irish county would you find the town of Loughrea? 1850 715 900 to enter our quiz of the day for that great break to Carlton House Hotel. I had this weird experience with a song lately. I don't know if any of you understand what I'm trying to say. You probably don't. You probably go, she's off on one again. But it was one of those songs. Have you ever had this when maybe you haven't heard it for a while? It doesn't really mean anything. It doesn't resonate with you. And then all of a sudden, it's everywhere. Kind of a bit like you're in the supermarket and you meet somebody as you go in and you have the big long chat, and then every aisle you go to, from the frozen foods to the dog food to whatever, they're there, and you have to have that awkward kind of chat again, but you've had the chat already. Then you go out to the car park, then the next day you see them in the park. It's that kind of thing. It was just everywhere. But this song actually makes me a little bit teary. And this is the song I'm talking about.
Do I really see what's in her mind each time I think? Through my fingers all the time.
Yes, that's Slipping Through My Fingers. ABBA originally, but sung there by Meryl Streep and Amanda Seyfried, from the movie Mamma Mia. And I suppose it's really about a mother's regret or thoughts about her daughter growing up so fast. So I suppose the reason it's resonating with me so much is the middle child. She will just genuinely dislike me for saying this. But anyway, she graduated from secondary school last week. So about 2 weeks ago, I'm at a drive-in movie. You know how it works. You've got the movie on the big screen. You're sitting in the car. No, John Travolta isn't there. You hear the sound from the movie on your car stereo. And we were all there in the car looking at Mamma Mia. And it's funny because when it starts, I'll just divert for a few minutes, but I'll digress. But when it starts and there's a big notice up on the movie screen and it says, please turn your car engines off every 20 minutes, or turn on your car engines every 20 minutes. That's what I think happened to me, to make sure that it doesn't cut out, that you can hear it on the stereo. So anyway, I'm there, we're looking at the movie, we're about halfway through. And what happens? Yes, the car cuts out and we're just no sound, but looking at it, the windows roll down very muffled, and then the song comes on, Slipping Through My Fingers. What happens? Even though I can't really hear it, I start crying. And then later on, and oh yeah, and I'll finish that. So the car's cut out and we're in the at the drive-in movie, and I'm going, how are we going to get out? And then the movie finishes and the cars all leave the field, and I look around and there's about 10 cars. Same thing has happened. They've all cut out as well. And there's a guy whose job it is, working with the big entertainment company that are putting on the drive-in movies, going around with a giant battery and jump leads, starting the 10 cars. So there's a job that COVID has given us that we didn't think we needed. And that's somebody to jumpstart our cars at the drive-in movie. Anyway, so back to the song, Slipping Through My Fingers, heard it there. And then last week, when I was washing my daughter's uniform, put it in the washing machine for the last time, what song comes on the radio? Slipping Through My Fingers. Now, part of me wanted to jump out for joy and go, fist in the air, I'll never have to wash this again. And then the other part was like, it's kind of sad in a way, a bit as well. Anyway, I noticed then on Twitter and social media, an awful lot of the Leaving Cert Class 2021 are using this song as a way of kind of celebrating their graduation. I even saw a girl called Rachel Eustace recorded the last school run home in her house, and her mum was crying on the way home. And of course, what was the music they used? It was Slipping Through Her Fingers, or Slipping Through My Fingers. So I suppose apart from capturing a moment, a letting go moment, and remembering your little boy or girl skipping along beside you, now they're moving on to a new stage in their life, I'm going to start again. Anyway, and that's a good thing. but you just want life to treat them kindly. And you're wondering, how did it happen? How do they grow up so quickly? In the blink of an eye and all that. So is this song an anthem for secondary school graduation? Have other schools used it in their videos? And really, how do you deal with those letting go moments? Did you have that, Sheila? Sheila's on sound this week. You did, so you know what I'm, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. 51551. A summer without ice cream flakes is like a what? Is like a cone. A constitutional, huh? Constitutional. Sorry, Sean, Curry and Swords. I'm a bit slow on that one. What Crawdads Sing or The Cruelty Men, I don't know what that means, but I'll come back to it in a minute. Anybody see Back to Barrytown last night? It was fantastic on RT1, looking back 30 years of Roddy Doyle's work there and looking at the commitments. And this song jumped out at me from the programme last night. I just love it. Try a Little Tenderness, Andrew Strong. Oh God, wouldn't that make you want to be at a live gig again and up the front, Andrew Strong and the Commitments Band. Well, can I say, I think there's another two programmes on RTE every Sunday night after the news for the next 2 weeks, looking at Barrytown and Roddy Doyle's trilogy there. Oh, love it. That was fantastic. Apparently, there are loads of local businesses texting us in, and we're going to give them a mention a little while after 4 o'clock. Reopened today. Best of luck. I hope you're not run off your feet too much. If you want to get your business mentioned, tell us who you are, where you are, what you've on offer today. 51551. We'll try and read as many as we can out after 4 o'clock today. And hi, Brenda. We went to Lahinch last Tuesday, outside of the county. It was amazing. A walk on the beach, paddling in the ice cold water, and then the best fish and chips ever in Snoopy's. Found a low wall to enjoy our feast outdoors. A great day to celebrate life, said Burl in Limerick. Nice one, Burl. An awful lot of reaction. I'm not on my own to that Slipping Through Your Fingers song. It says, Brenda, I love that song from Mamma Mia 2. As a lone parent in the 70s, genuinely a lone parent, I especially identify with the film. The dad in our case deserted, fairly typical in the 70s. Hi, Brenda. My daughter graduated last week too. I know exactly what you're talking about. Letting go is hard. I'm retiring from teaching on the same day as my daughter finishes her last exam. So a lot of tears and letting go to happen over the next few weeks, said Grania. Best of luck with all that, Grania. Hi, Brenda. I empathise with you. My daughter now lives in Australia and I was in tears the first time I heard Slipping Through My Fingers. Oh my God, I thought it was only me. Best wishes to your daughter. She has heads next phase of her life. Again, as I said, she'll kill me. Hi, Brenda. Well, it actually says Jesus, Brenda. My youngest daughter graduated here in Miami yesterday. My older daughter, Ashley, lives in Dublin and turned 30 at the weekend. That ABBA song had me in tears. It resonates so much with me. Thanks for the tears, said Tom. No problem, Tom. It's a pleasure. Hi, Brendan Nile here from Portlaoise. I agree with you about the song Slipping Through My Fingers. I was singing that song to myself one day, and later that day I went to the bank. And what song did I hear? Slipping Through My Fingers, sung by ABBA. My mother and I thought it was a freaky coincidence. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, lots to talk about. I'm here 51551 until 4:30. We'd love to hear from you. We'll take a break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
And it's Brenda here. Just a reminder, we'll have our quiz of the day on after 4. Two people we're looking for to take part in our quiz. The qualifying question is, in which Irish county would you find the town of Loughrea? 1857 15 900 to be in with a prize of winning that fabulous breakaway to Carton House. Do get on the phone straight away. 1857 15 900. Now, I was chatting earlier about the gorgeous and emotional video of Ruth being dropped off to school by her mammy for the last time. Well, mammy Angela Eunice is on the line now. Hello, Angela. Good afternoon.
Hello, Brenda. How are you?
I'm grand. Have you been shopping?
No, I dropped them over. I didn't bother going anywhere. I didn't get out of the car. Mm. I just said, no, let them do it.
I know. And where were they going, Angela?
They went over to Portlaoise.
Yeah.
So
now, I saw the video. So just to explain it to anybody listening, one of your daughters posted a video last week of you dropping your youngest daughter, I think,
yeah,
to school for the last time. First of all, tell me where you are and the house set up.
Well, I live in Ballylinen, just inside the Kildare border, but it's in Laois. And I have four daughters, Rachel, Jordan, Abigail and Ruth. Mm. And James, my husband. So they range from age 24 to 18.
That was busy.
It was. Yeah. Very busy. Never off the school run.
No. So tell me, why would the school run be such a big deal?
I presume just because I was doing it for so long, and you're in the car with them and you get to chat with them, and then when they're maybe only the one or two, you get more chat out of them, and maybe you'd hear things that you wouldn't normally have heard, and then there'd be the funny things, sometimes there'd be the serious conversations as well, but it's just the time to connect with them, I suppose, when there's nothing else there bar listening. We'd listen to the radio a lot and, you know, talk about songs and different things that'd be on, and it was just a good place, and I enjoyed doing it. I know it was a long time doing it, but I did enjoy doing it. Like, I started when I went to play school, so it was about 21 years doing the school runs for the different schools, morning and evening, so it's just part of life.
And I'm just thinking, Angela, like, then your body is kind of on a clockwork thing, that one is to be picked up out of the 3 o'clock run, then the other one's secondary school, and there was no bus route, am I correct?
The bus, yeah, but I'd have to travel up to get the bus, so if I brought them to the bus...
You might as well bring them the whole way.
Yeah, I would have been in town, and then you'd be on the bus and they wouldn't get home till later, where I'd have them home a lot quicker and they'd get in to do whatever they had to do, so it's just handier. Plus, when you have four... It's like quite expensive to be doing bus runs and keeping a car on the road as well.
Absolutely. You know, so. Yeah, I get it. And you would have done this for 21 years.
Yeah.
So, as I was saying, your body clock is kind of conditioned.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Well, a couple of years ago, I decided when Ruth got a little bit older then to maybe go back and work now. Just work in the school, do cleaning in the evenings. But I enjoy going out and I meet other people and that. It just feels, I felt a bit lost now this morning, not getting up. Even though I woke up still at 6:45, got up, because I'm so used to getting up and leaving the house at 8 o'clock that I still couldn't figure out not to get up so early and be up and about and doing things. But I suppose just different things, you get used to it, isn't it?
Yeah. And you know? When was the last day? Was it
Friday?
Friday. What was that like? Because you were blubbering now.
Yeah,
I hate that word, blubbering. But
no,
were,
but I was. I was
a little
very
bit
upset.
Of a mess.
Even, even thinking about it now, like, it's just your baby is finished, like, and I don't know. It's just, that's a stage of your life that's gone. And, like, it's just sad, I suppose. And I'm delighted she's gone on. And I'm looking forward to her next stage, like I did with the others. But every time one of them left, it was just like they're moving away further. Do you know, like, as they get older, you have less control, or, you know, they're doing their own life. And that's what I want. But it's just like, something means pulled from you, I suppose it's emotional. I'm getting emotional now even thinking about it.
I know. And do you know what? It's been such a chaotic year, I think, is the easiest way to describe it, for that Leaving Cert class of 2021. They're in school, they're out of school, they've mocks, they've no mocks, they've calculated grades. Will they sit one, will they not? It's just been such an important year. But
And all the little things that that they don't get to do, like they didn't, we'd normally attend their graduation.
I know.
Like that, we couldn't do that. That was just done in the school. And it was lovely.
You're starting me, because I watched my one on Zoom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
it was lovely and everything. Don't get me
wrong. But you just, when you've done it with other children or other child, you feel, oh God, I didn't get to do that. But like then they had a great day. They actually enjoyed it. The school brought in pizzas and ice cream van came up for them and different things after. And they sat out in the grass. It just happened that the day was nice. And they loved it. But like, it's just you feel you didn't get to say goodbye. You know, and say goodbye to maybe some of the teachers that you would have known for the last 12 years. I'm going in now to secondary school, you know, and things like that. There's some of them retiring and things that you just like to finish up, like, you know.
Well, you know what? This is your time now for you.
Yeah.
And this is your time to say, right, I'll do whatever it is, Pilates, I'll spend time with my friends. You know, I'm going to get those car runs out of my system and I'm going to take a breath and think of the great job that you've done with them.
they're quite good. So hopefully they'll go on and get what they want now, and she get what she wants to do in college. And even if she doesn't, there's something out there for everyone. And that's what I always say to them.
Same here. There are plenty of ways to skin a cat, isn't that the expression? And you know what? It was a really emotional video that they posted of Ruth's last day. Will we just crank it up a little bit and just give us one little blast of it?
Slipping through my fingers all the time. Do I really see what's in her mind?
Ah, there you go.
And the car comes on at the tops of their voices.
They all sing it, do they?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Look, we wish Ruth the best of luck and all the Leaving Cert class of 2021 and all the parents who have to let them move on.
Yeah. But it's a part of life, and that's what we have. That's what we want for them.
That's all we want for them.
That they're happy.
Okay. Angelina, take care. Best of luck to all your beautiful daughters.
And good luck to you and your family too, Brenda.
All right.
Thanks very much.
We'll take a break and just to recover, because I have Dr. Alex George coming up next.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
And it's Brenda Donoghue in here for Ray for the day. Now, Dr. Alex George is no stranger to listeners. He shot to fame in 2018 when he was one of the contestants on Love Island. Alex is an emergency doctor in the NHS and he's written a book, Live Well Every Day, Your Plan for a Happy Body and Mind. And he's on the line now. I wish you were in studio. Hello, Alex. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I wish I was in studio too. Those are the good old days, weren't they? We could sit round, have a cup of tea and a chat and all that. But thank you so much for having me on the show nonetheless.
Not at all. Well, at least you're a little step further than us in the UK, because you can go inside and have a coffee and a sandwich and a pint if you want. Have you done any of that yet?
Yeah, it's kind of, it feels a bit odd really. I mean, all the steps and things that are happening. I actually had my first coffee inside today, and it does feel a bit odd, you know. It does feel a bit odd, and I've talked about this before, you know, and I know things are slightly different out there, but you know, following very similar processes at some point, I'm sure. And it's the milestones are good. I mean, it's good to see these things happening, but I think for everyone, what I say is don't see it as something you have to hit. You know, if you're not ready to go in to a busy place, that's absolutely fine. And, you know, I'm not, certainly not rushing to a busy pub, I don't think. That's personally my feelings.
Yeah, well, I suppose more than anybody, you know, you would have been right at the front line during that crisis in the NHS and just case upon case coming through. I presume you saw things that you never thought you'd ever have to see. No training would prepare you for it.
No, and in fact, it's not even just that, you know, because obviously I graduated in 2015 and I've been working since then as an A&E doctor. But, you know, some of my consultants have been working for 25, 30 years and they've never, ever seen anything like it before. You know, no kind of training really prepares you for what has happened. And it's just been, you know, it's been the most surreal year and a bit, really, you know, what's happened. And I think it's been very, very hard. But, you know, I'm very glad that actually, as you know, all the doctors, the nurses, all the carers, everyone in the hospitals and outside have really pulled together, and the communities as well. I think that's what's got us through. And actually, when you look at, you know, all the training in the world could have, you know, you can help and things, but, you know, actually it's the community spirit, the team spirit and the togetherness. That's what actually has got us through.
Very much so. And, you know, I'm just thinking there is over, I think, 30,000 Irish medical people working in the NHS. So, you know, I presume they've worked all hours, couldn't get home Christmases, all of that. So, and I suppose you've seen the toll it's taken on the staff itself within the NHS, trying to do their jobs and working those long shifts and everything.
Absolutely. And I've got some very good friends of mine that are Irish that work in Lewisham Hospital in London where I work. And, you know, many people have really struggled to get home and get back to their families. And obviously the rules changing, particularly, you know, over here before Christmas. But the impact is huge. I mean, on the mental health of all the staff. And I think we're very concerned about increased rates of burnout. There's concerns about compassion fatigue, rates of anxiety and depression we believe are on the rise. And, you know, it's difficult because we can run on adrenaline, but it only lasts so long. And I think it's been a very, very, very long marathon, an ultra marathon of the pandemic, really. Of course, you know, the fact that we're coming out now is a huge boost, but I think it's very important we focus on the mental health of our staff afterwards, because actually, over there, over here, around the world, doctors and nurses are overstretched. I think that's just a universal thing that we know, and we have to go back. Now that this is done, doesn't mean the job of the doctors and the nurses have stopped. It's if anything, we've kind of got to catch up on a lot of the things that have happened, because of course we know some people avoided hospitals. There's a lot of people who haven't had operations that need to have their operations. So, the pressures, I don't think, will fade. They will stay high.
Now, I am going to talk to you about your book in a second, but I'm just going to take a little sip of my Love Ireland water bottle here.
is it the proper one?
It is the proper one. Oh, absolutely. It is. Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, I watched you. I was part of a couple of WhatsApp groups. I really enjoyed it. But I can't believe that you didn't audition, that they sought you out. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's true. I don't know why. To this day, I couldn't tell you why. I had 200 followers, not 200,000, not 20,000, 200 followers on Instagram, and they messaged me and said, "Look, we'd love to have a call." And I thought it was a prank message, my friends having a wind up. So, it took me a while to believe it, but it's one of those things where I actually sat down with my consultants and Dr. Anna actually, and she said to me, "Listen, why don't you go to the interview? It's something so different. Why not? Why can't doctors do this? Just you're a doctor. You still have relationships. You still have your own personal life. And, there's nothing wrong with it." So I went to an interview, and just for the fun, really, just an life experience. And, you don't really honestly expect this going to happen. I don't know the exact numbers, but apparently it's harder to get into Love Island than any other, than Eton or Cambridge or all this stuff. So, the chances were so slim. But I went and had fun in the interview and chatted to everyone, and it just happened, really. It just all followed on from there.
And then you write in your book, Live Well Every Day, about, I suppose, being on Love Island, and to get to that stage, you went on this mad diet and what you learnt. And I think the book, from my reading of it, is a lot of life lessons that you have learnt, all culminated in this book about your plan for a happy body and healthy mind. But in a way, you had a fantastic body when you entered Love Island, but you were not, it didn't come easy, and it wasn't the right way to go about it. Am I correct?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, some people might have said that it was aesthetically, or that was good shape or whatever, but actually, I didn't feel good. I'd really had such a strict diet that was, inhibiting my body, really, exercising to the extreme, not seeing my friends because they're, for the fear that I might have, a cake or some calories or whatever. And it was just unhealthy. And now I'd say I'm still very good. I don't have a six pack, but I'm in reasonable shape, and I feel fit, and I feel healthy, and I feel happy. And it really, I reflected on that experience, and, Live Well Every Day, that the idea of that book really is to bring together, the latest science and understanding together with my personal experiences and professional experiences, of course, to try and give people tips and advice to live happy and healthy. Because ultimately, I don't know about you, but when I was at school, we'd learned a lot about academia, about history and maths and English, but no one talks about the benefits of sleep and how to, have a good sleep habit, or how, what you really need to know about nutrition, or how exercise can benefit you, or how important it is to have purpose and passion in your life. So I really wanted to sit down and think, what are all the things I wish I knew growing up at university and things? And, can I put these all together? And I think regardless of what age you are, I hope there are things in the book that people might find helpful. And, I enjoyed writing. It wasn't easy all the time, but I am proud of it. Proud of the book.
And you said there are 7 steps to a healthier life: purpose and passion, mental health, a healthy mind, nutrition, fitness, recharging, sex and relationships, taking control of your health. And you go through all of them. But I don't know why this has stuck with me. You went through your food diary, and I thought, could that be his dinner? Tuna salad, tuna with a mixed salad and a little bit of yogurt. Is that your dinner?
I try my best. The way I try and do things is to live.
Not that there's anything wrong with it. I should be doing that.
Do you know what I try and do is that, I say this throughout the book, there's no such thing as a perfect life. There's no such thing as a perfect diet. So it's trying to do What is your average, and can you do things most of the time being healthy and then have treats and things? Like, don't get me wrong, I enjoy my pizza, I love a takeaway curry and things like that, but it's trying to do, you know, most of the time trying to have good habits of living, you know, healthy, you know, whether that's creating a structure and saying, look, Monday to Friday I'm going to be, you know, quite good in my eating, and maybe on Saturday, you know, I might, or Sunday or whatever, that I might, you know, have more treats. It's about balance in life. No one can live perfect, but it's what, you know, trying to do good by your body most of the time.
Now, I suppose one of the most important principles in the book is about our mental health, and that's the core of everything. And if you don't mind, and no problem if you don't want to, but you dedicated the book to the memory of your brother, Clear, who passed away last July. And the introduction, I found myself being incredibly moved by it. And I was just thinking, my God, apart from dealing with the grief that you must have to deal with, but the shock must be really difficult to live with and to have experienced at that time. Do you mind just if I ask you a little bit about that? How dreadful was the shock?
Well, it was awful. I mean, you know, and we were, and as I was hearing one of your guests just before me talk about going off and your children moving away, you know, part of, as hard as that is, the excitement of, you know, children going off to university. And I was very excited for my brother to go to med school. He actually had a place at medical school in Southampton, and he was due to go in, you know, a month or so's time. And just before his results for his A-levels, I had a sudden phone call from my dad, who had sadly found out that he'd taken his life, and it was the worst shock. I mean, it's nothing can prepare you for that moment. And I think my life changed forever. It'd always be before and afterwards, and the pain from that is just something you can't describe in words. I didn't even think that kind of pain existed, but you know, the only way that I felt that I could move forward was to bring myself focus and to try and give myself that purpose again. And you know, the campaign, the work that I'm doing as a youth mental health ambassador for the UK, like that's given me a real sense of purpose. This book was very important to me. He was very proud of it. Of course, a lot of the book was written before then, so he was very proud of it. And these are the things that, you know, when awful things happen, you have to find anchors in your life and things that you can kind of hold on to and get you through. But it's an ongoing process. You don't get over this kind of thing. You have to learn to live with it. It's a different kind of concept, I guess.
I know. And I suppose, what was the age difference, Alex?
10 years and 4 days. He was the 15th of February 1991 I was born, and he was born 10 years later. So yeah, it was tough as well, because of course I'm the older brother. He knows all the work I was doing around mental health, which I have been doing for several years. And, you know, he was a mini me in every sense, you know, and even down to, you know, I love my cars and Formula One, and he shared exactly the same hobby. So, yeah, it's very hard as an older brother, I think, as well, because, of course, you feel like you're there to care for them and look after them, protect them from the world. So, yeah, there's always a sense of that.
He was probably getting to the stage where you could do more together as well, just with being that.
Yeah, there was a real excitement for that.
Yeah,
I was really looking forward to him going to university and us starting to do things together and him getting involved in the work that I'm doing. And yeah, it's really, really, it has been really difficult to accept.
And I suppose he was probably having a bit of a laugh to himself up above when you met Boris Johnson and you were having a talk, and now you're an ambassador for youth mental health. He was probably going, how did that happen? Well done, Alex.
I hope he's proud. I mean, yeah, I'd hope so. And I think it gives my parents some hope as well, because that kind of despair that they feel, you know, I feel was terrible. I mean, as parents, it's kind of unimaginable, isn't it? So, you know, it gives them some hope. My mum's doing fantastic. I mean, she started charity Knit for Mental Health, where she's got nearly 100 knitters who are knitting different items and selling them. And she's raised, you know, phenomenal. I think it's nearly £18,000 she's raised for charity, which is fantastic. So she's trying to find that purpose as well. So it's about finding that sense of, you know, how do we move forward? You can't get over it, but how can you move forward, you know?
Yeah. And I suppose this book, Live Well Every Day, what do you want people who pick it up and they say, oh, there's Dr. Alex, loved him on Love Island or whatever. What do you want them to take from it?
Well, I hope that people can use the information in there to take more control of their own health and happiness. You know, I think in the past we've always had this kind of paternalistic view of medicine and healthcare, but actually I think people since the pandemic, they want control of their own health. They want to make choices, but from an informed position, and I just hope that people feel that after reading the book they can actually make some changes that does actually make them feel better, because that's what matters. It's improving the way you feel.
Yeah, and I think it's written from a really strong place. What a life experience you've had, Alex. Like, seriously, from Love Island, doctor, dealing with grief, you, now you're a mental health ambassador. Incredible, really. I suppose if I was to meet you out and we were to have a chat, what would you like people to think about you? What are the things about you you'd like people to know?
It's funny, it's a good thought, really. I guess I'd love people to think that I'm kind. I think that's probably the most important thing. I think if I throughout my life people say, you know, Alex, above everything, you was a kind and good person, that I would say is the most important thing. Everything else, all the kind of achievements and success and stuff, that comes secondary. You know, people to remember you as a good person, I think that's the most important thing.
Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you, Alex, or should I call you Dr. Alex? I'm not quite
Alex,
sure. I think
Alex,
we've got to Alex
preferred
at this
thanks
stage, haven't we?
Alex is much preferred.
Absolutely. So, Alex, your book, Live Well Every Day, it's out now. 7 simple steps to a healthier life. It's been a real pleasure talking to you. And just finally, will you be watching the next series of Love Island?
I will. It's escapism at its best, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, of course, I will. I chuckle and laugh and watch it and enjoy it. That'll be brilliant.
Don't we
Thank
need
you so
it this
much
year?
No, we do. We do. We do. Everyone's had a hard year. And I think everyone should remember that moving forward. You know, take care of yourselves, look after your friends and family, and take things step at a time.
All right, Alex, it's been a pleasure. Best of
Thank
luck
you
with everything.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
And what a nice guy Alex George was, wasn't he? Very conversational. He's been through a lot. Very interesting. Anyway, I really enjoyed that. Connor Pope. Were you in Henry Street?
I've got a lot to follow. I've got a big act to follow now, Brenda, don't I?
You do? Oh, well, it doesn't matter. It's only me and you. We'll be fine.
Yeah, no, I spent my morning on Henry Street in Dublin City Centre, just having a look around to see what was going on, because, of course, this is the great retail reopening.
Yeah.
It's actually the third great retail reopening that I've covered over the last 12 months, because first, obviously, there was the opening last summer, and then there was another lockdown, and then retail opened again in December, and then, obviously, there was the 4.5-month, 5-month lockdown, and now retail is opening again. But I have to say, there was a much greater sense of optimism about the place this time round than there was on past occasions, simply because of the fact that people are now fairly confident that the vaccine rollout means that this might be the last time that retail has to shut down as a result of the COVID-19 crisis.
I was hearing it was a little bit calm, not huge numbers. You know, people probably feeling, oh my God, I have to get in and get everything in one day because it'll all close down again. That probably feeds into that.
Yeah, well, actually, to be fair, I think the government handled it really well, because they allowed a lot of the big retailers, they allowed every retailer to open by appointment last week. And that would have taken the heat out a lot of the demand for places like Penny's and Zara and H&M and Arnott's and Brown Thomas, because people who were desperate to get into those places could make their appointments and go in last week. So when I went into town this morning, like there was no queues outside any of the big shops at 9:30, 10:00. And in fact, there was a lot of sorry looking photographers walking around going, who am I going to take a photograph of? Because there was nothing to do. But then by 11 or 11:30, it had started to pick up a little bit, and there was actually queues outside Penny's and Zara. Now, they weren't anything close to the size of the queues that we saw last June or July, last June or last December. There was maybe 20 people in the queue. And I think one of the things that people have a lot more confidence about now is that the retailers know what they're doing more than they did this time last year. So, and also the shoppers know what they're doing. So the social distancing measures are all being adhered to, the mask wearing is being adhered to, and people are like shopping in a fairly responsible way. So I think that, coupled with the vaccines, has fed kind of that spirit of optimism and hope.
Oh, please God, as they say. You have the scoop on what's happening with the possible flake shortage that could impact on the 99s.
As if 2021 wasn't hard enough, Brenda.
Yeah.
We we now discovered that there's a shortage, a chronic, unprecedented shortage of flakes going into the 99s. Now, I need to lie down.
I
know.
Go ahead.
Listen. I'm the same. I spoke to a shop in Salt Hill in Galway. Now, I'm from Galway, so I would have been very familiar with the Bon Bon growing up. An awful lot of your listeners might be familiar with it. It's a lovely little cute shop on the Prom, or very close to the Prom in Salt Hill. And the shop owner there told me that, like, he'd managed to get a supply of flakes in, but he'd been told that there were shortages. So then I spoke to one of the distributors of flakes, and they said, yeah, they'd never seen anything like it. The demand was really high. And then I spoke to Cadbury. Well, actually, I spoke to Mondelez, which is the company that owns Cadbury's, and they said, yeah, it was down to, like, supply, and it was supply and demand. So the demand for flakes in Ireland was higher than anticipated, and as a result, there was a bit of a shortage, but they were doing whatever they could to make sure that we do have our chocolatey treats to top our cones for the summer months. So, you know, I wouldn't be losing the run of myself just yet. There's still hope that they might be able to retrieve the situation, and we'll have 99s going through the summer.
It's because, you know, one of the things I really enjoy doing is going down to Tramore and sitting on the wall and having a 99. I don't get any kind of sprinkles on it or anything. I just need the flake.
No.
That's all.
Yeah, and actually, and you know, one of the things I found out, like, the 99 has been a staple of the Irish summer and indeed the Irish winter since the 1930s, because it's been, you know, you always have to pay a little bit extra for the flake, and it was just like, you know what, let's just go for it. And that, you know, that's why, you know, the shortage is there. I think people are doing whatever they can to give themselves a tiny little lift and a tiny little treat in the COVID world in which we live. So maybe that's behind the high level of demand. But I didn't realise that the flake is actually made in Egypt now. It used to be made in Dublin. But now it's made in Egypt. Now, I was assured by Cadbury that it's nothing to do with Brexit or anything like that. It's just a supply issue. So as I say, hopefully it'll all be resolved.
Okay, that's good news from Connor Pope. Good news. Now, you have been busy solving consumer problems. Pricewatch@rte.ie. I have one here for you, Connor. It says, my partner and I are in our mid-50s and we've had health insurance for some 20 years. We paid $274 per month total for both of us. We're moving to Italy for possibly 1 year. Should we keep our VHI package here? We'll get 3 months EU health insurance card before we leave. But do you think that'll be enough without VHI?
Well, this is actually a very complicated question, but it has a simple enough answer, and I'm glad to say that. So there's a couple of things that would be at play here. First, one of the ways the Irish health insurance market works is that everyone pays the same. So you have this community rating system. So a 30-year-old pays the same for the same policy as a 70-year-old or a 90-year-old. So there is no, you're not penalised based on your age or even based on your condition. So that's a really good thing. Now, the exception is people who don't take out health insurance until they're over the age of 34. And if you don't take out health insurance until you're 36 or 38, you pay more than you would have if you took it out at 30. And the idea is that they want to encourage younger people to take out health insurance to keep the market solvent. So one of the fears I had was if these people let their health insurance go, well, then they would end up, when they came back to Ireland, took out a policy, they might have to pay more. But they don't have to pay more. So that's one good news. But I spoke to Dermot Good of totalhealthcover.ie, and he's an expert on health insurance. He knows a lot more about it than I do. And he said the big thing that this couple would have to fear if they relinquish their health insurance and just went off to Italy for the year is that when they come back to Ireland and they take out health insurance again, they'll have to endure a waiting period before they're covered for pre-existing conditions.
Right.
So let's say if you did say, listen, I'm not going to be using my health insurance because I'm going to be in Italy, I'm going to get rid of it. When you come back to Ireland, you're treated as a new customer, and if you have any pre-existing condition, you won't have any cover for 5 years after you take out the policy again. And there would also be a waiting period for new conditions when you took out your new policy, because you wouldn't pay any penalty on the basis that you took it out in your mid-50s, because you'd be given credit for having 20 years of health insurance prior to letting the policy lapse, but you would have to have the waiting periods. So what he suggested, and I think this would be very good advice, is rather than letting the policy lapse, contact the VHI, and that's the provider, and ask for a VHI international policy. Now, that's a policy that's specially designed for people who are overseas for long periods of time. And what it would mean is that, A, you have excellent cover should you fall ill while you're in Italy, even though, like, the public system there might be good, but you would have excellent private health cover while you were in Italy. But more crucially, when you came back to Ireland, you wouldn't be starting from scratch and you wouldn't have any waiting periods when you take out a new health insurance policy. Now, it is going to come at a cost, like a €274 a month over 12 months, you're looking at more than €2,500. So it's going to come at a cost, but that's a cost that they're already paying when they're in Ireland. And it would give, if someone was asking me what I would do, I would certainly look at something like that, because you would hate to have a waiting period before you had cover, and you'd be fearful that something might go wrong in that waiting period, in which case you wouldn't have cover. And if having private health insurance is important to you, well, then it is important to keep that continuity going.
And why not go to Italy for a year? Do what you can to get there.
When I read that, I was actually really jealous.
I know, me too.
Somebody would be sloping off to Italy for a year. That just sounds absolutely divine.
And come here, before I let you go, Conor, did you buy anything in the shops, more importantly?
Do you know what? I didn't.
What?
I was a,
what a waste.
Model.
Like, seriously.
A model of restraint.
Not even a pair of socks.
Not even a pair. Actually, I tell a lie. I did buy 3 books for my 3-year-old. I bought 2 Julia Donaldson books and then one book, a compilation book from Mog the Forgetful Cat. Some of your listeners may be familiar with Mog, and some of your listeners may be familiar with The Room on the Broom. So I bought a few books for my child, and that was it.
All right. And as we said before, the bookshops are open. Support your local bookshop.
100%.
You know what, Conor, before I let you go, I had this image on Saturday at about 7 o'clock. I was going to our local shop and I saw the 2 beauticians walking out, and like they were emptying bins and everything. And I thought, my God, people are working so hard. So for everybody working in shops and beauticians and barbers and everything, you know, go easy on them. They're on their feet all day.
I couldn't agree with you more. They deserve all the respect in the world.
All right. Well, listen, it's great to talk to you. Keep up the good work.
Okay, you too, Brenda.
And I presume you'll be back next week with Ray. Bernice Tosh and the Prief Skelton Lilta, La Kiran O'Flaherty. Garamila Mahagoth, Kiran. And now it is time for Quiz of the Day. Do we have any music? I just wanted a bit. That's all right. We have 2 contestants on the line ready to play the quiz. We have a great prize in Carlton House. We have Tony and we have Mary. Tony, how are you?
Not too bad at all, Brenda. Not too bad at all.
And where are you, Tony?
Capoys in County Tipperary.
Oh, but now, whereabouts in Tipperary is that? So say you're driving down on the way to Cork. Where am I coming off?
Come off in Cashel.
Okay. And how far from Cashel are you?
About 12 miles from Cashel.
Okay.
The good side of the county.
Are you the football or the hurling side?
Oh, geez, the hurling.
Oh, stop. I beg your pardon. I forgot. How did you get on this weekend, Tipperary?
Drew again.
Who are you playing? Galway. Cork. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. And come here, tell me, what are you up to today?
I'm on a few days holiday.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah.
And what are you doing for the few days?
Well, we'll go off for a couple of days, spins and whatever. We were supposed to go away for a couple of days, but the hotels still weren't open, so we'll just go for a couple of day trips.
Oh, good. And where will you go for a day trip now?
I'll go down around West Clare, good old West Clare.
And who will you go with?
My good wife.
And what's her name?
Rita.
Rita.
Just wish her a happy birthday as well. Her birthday is Thursday.
Oh, I will. Happy birthday, Rita. Have a wonderful day, and you're off and everything, Tony, to make it really special for her.
Well, sure, as good as you can do it.
And do you like going off for a walk together? Do you like spending? I get a sense that the two of you going off for a few days in the car, that you really enjoy each other's company. Well, I suppose you'd have to, you're married, but you know what I mean? You get on very well.
Well, I hope we do anyway. We've had no problems yet and we've been together a while, so... Yeah, day trips like that are good when you can do nothing else, I suppose.
That's true. And how did you get on over COVID?
Grand, but the two of us were working, we'll say, all the time. I was working and Rita was working.
So, and what?
We'd plenty to keep us busy.
Yeah, and what does Rita do?
She works inside the maternity, inside in Limerick.
Okay, so very busy then.
Yeah, yeah.
And how did you meet Rita?
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
I just met her out on a night out, like, going back years ago when she was coming back, she was passing through Capoys, and the luck would have it, I was there.
And you were, and that was it. How long are you married?
We're married 31 years this year.
Okay, all right. Well, look, you're ready to win this prize. You want to win it for Rita for her birthday.
Years, 32.
Is Rita there?
She's outside, yeah.
Yeah, she's correcting you. Okay.
No, she's not. She's not. She's not. But I better not get her wrong.
Well, Tony, stay there because you are up against Mary. Mary, how are you doing? Where are you, Mary?
I am down in Enniscorthy, in Wexford.
Mary Jevons from Enniscorthy. Is that the correct pronunciation, Mary?
It is, yes.
And tell me, what are you up to today?
Doing a bit of housework and a walk this morning on a day off today.
Yeah. And what housework are you doing?
Well, I was pulling in the clothes there a minute ago before the rain starts again, so... Mm.
Yeah, and it's funny, I was down in that part of the neck of the woods on Friday. I was in Rosslare. And I couldn't believe as I came into Wexford, like it's literally like everybody talks about it. It's like this mini micro weather climate or something going on. It was like 18 degrees and fabulous.
Yeah, you obviously came through at a good time because between the showers on Friday.
Mm. And tell me, Mary, what are you working at?
I'm a nurse down in Wexford General Hospital.
Okay. So how have you got on? How has COVID been? What's the numbers been like?
Yeah, well, they're good now. I think there's only 3 or 4 cases in the hospital, but I work in a different department to the main ward, so I wouldn't have as much contact with the COVID patients. So,
okay, and who is at home?
My husband Cormac and 2 girls, Ellie is 19 and Anna is 17 and a half.
Okay, you didn't have the whole Leaving Cert graduation thing. Is that next year?
Yeah, that's next year. Anna will be... for that next year.
And are you any good at quizzes, Mary?
As I said to your researcher, I'm not too bad when I'm not on the radio. I haven't been on the radio.
This is your first time on the radio as well?
Well, I was on the radio or a quiz show years ago with Jerry Ryan, actually.
Bless.
Yeah. But we didn't win.
Oh, did you not?
No.
Well, maybe better luck with me this time. Hopefully. What was the quiz, by the way? Because we always had great fun with those quizzes with Jerry.
I can't remember, but it was a head-to-head again, and we didn't get the Kurt Cobain question. Kurt Cobain was the answer, but I didn't get it.
Well, I can guarantee I've looked at the questions. There's no Kurt Cobain on this one, so...
Okay, that's grand. Well, I'll never forget it anyhow, so that's okay.
I know, yeah, that's true. You never forget when you get the question wrong. And Tony, are you any good at quizzes?
I don't know, no. I'll tell you after this.
Right, are you ready to go?
Yeah.
It is
and
the
good
quiz.
Good luck, Tony.
All right.
Good luck, Mary.
Oh, thank you're so you. Nice. We just get a bit of tension going. Get rid of that niceness altogether. Okay, you're up first, Tony. First question to you. On this day in 1814, the Norwegian Constitution passed by the Constituent Assembly. What is the capital of Norway?
Oslo.
Correct. That's one to you. And your first question, Mary. On this day in 1921... Belgium and Luxembourg signed a customs union. What is the capital city of Belgium?
Brussels.
That's one apiece. We'll go for a bit of an audio question now. Are you ready to rock and roll with this, Tony?
Yeah.
All right, have a listen to this.
Are you a good witch or a bad witch? Who, me? I'm not a witch at all. I'm Dorothy Gale from Kansas. Oh. Well, is that the witch? Toto's my dog.
So on this day in 1900, the book by L. Frank Baum that the film was based on was first published. Can you name that film? We just heard the clip from there.
The Wizard of Oz.
It is The Wizard of Oz. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. Poppies, poppies. And tell me, Mary, here we go. Here's an audio clip for you. Have a listen to this. Okay. So on this day in 1985, the character of Bobby Ewing was killed in that US soap. Can you name it?
Dallas,
it was. Do you remember? And then he came back.
Yeah.
When he was in the shower.
Yeah.
Yeah. A but sure, if you look at the storylines now, it's fantastic. Right, let's go. Number three, question number three for you, Tony. On this day in 1630, Italian Jesuit Nicola Zanussi was the first to see two belts on the surface of Jupiter. Jupiter is larger than planet Earth. True or false?
True.
That is correct. I'll tell you, there's no flies on you, Tony. Mary, your question. On this day in 1969, Russian probe Venera 6 landed on Venus. Venus is larger than planet Earth. True or false? Larger than planet
false.
Earth.
False. I don't really know.
You're right. It's smaller. Okay. Oh, my God. Here's another audio clip for you, Tony. Now, that song entered the top 10 for the first time on this day in 1993. Can you name the group?
Now,
you have to answer it now.
No.
Will I tell you who it was?
Yeah.
That was UB40, Can't Help Falling in Love With You. Just like Rita said the first time she met you in Cappa White in County Tipperary. Here's your audio clip here now. Mary, see, can you hear?
Everybody hurts sometimes. Sometimes everything is wrong.
Now, that song entered the top 10 for the first time on this day in 1993. Can you name the group, Mary?
No, can't think.
No, Mary. Okay, that was REM. Everybody Hurts. But you know what? You're still even Stevens. Three apiece. Okay, the last question for you, Tony. It is on this day in 1937. Juan Nguyen became Spain's prime minister. Which of these countries has a larger population than Spain? South Korea, Iraq, or Canada?
I would say Iraq.
Iraq is the wrong answer. It's South Korea with 51 million. Sorry about that. And if you get this one right, Mary, you could all be heading off to the Carlton House. Okay, fingers crossed. Here you go. Listen tight. On this day in 1926, Wilhelm Marx became Chancellor of Germany. Which of these countries has a larger population than Germany? Vietnam, Thailand, or South Africa? Vietnam, Thailand, or South Africa, Mary? Get it right. All right, we need
Vietnam,
an answer.
Vietnam.
Guess
know.
What?
What? If you're wrong.
Guess what?
What?
Guess it.
I said Vietnam.
Yeah, and guess what?
What?
Guess.
We got it right.
You're right. Congratulations, Mary. You are heading to Carlton House.
Brilliant. Thanks a million.
And you're going to have a marvellous time there. Breakfast, dinner, everything. There's loads to do. Congratulations, Mary. So that's Mary Jevons heading off to Enniscorthy, Wexford. And do you know what, Tony?
Why?
Because I really like people from Tipperary and it's Rita's birthday, we'll have to send her out a Ray Darcy Show mug. Can we do that, Niamh? Would you like that, Tony?
It would be lovely.
That would be lovely.
And well done, Mary.
Hard luck, Tony. And thanks a million, Tony. And thanks, Brenda and everyone. And thank you to my brother, Charlie, and Cormac and Anna here.
All right. Mary, enjoy it. Have a great time. Great to talk to you both.
I will. Thanks a million.
Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
And it's Brenda Dunne who's sitting in today. Well, at the top of the show, we said because non-essential retail is back and so many businesses are trying to get back up on their feet. Is there anything small that we can do? Any little thing? And we thought, why not just give a call out to different businesses? And we said, look, send us in your businesses, wherever, you know, where you are, what you're up to. And I have just been handed a list of pages. Now, I know I won't get through them all. Ray might read a few out tomorrow as well. But honestly, pages of people who have opened their doors today, who've gone through a really tough 4 months. And we're just delighted just to be able to read some out. So Sheila's on sound there. Will you just throw a little bit of music on? I'm only seeing these as well for the first time. But congratulations and good luck to everybody who's opened their doors today. So Tonic Boutique in Dunboyne, and we've opened our doors today, and the doors have been open 6 weeks in total, said owners Evelyn and Trish. Dublin Crystal celebrated 53 years in business last week here in Dundrum. We reopened at last this morning. Hi Brenda, plenty of flakes for sale here in D&G Foods in Waterford. River Cottage Cattery in North County Dublin here. Our 5-star cat hotel is open for business. All those furry friends ready for their holidays, just like their owners, said Lorna. Reopened today, thank God. Started the business last September, oh my goodness, and had to close for 5 months. Doors open now and hopefully they'll stay open, says Frank Fleming. He's an estate agent. Hi Brenda, give a shout out to Jer Point Glass Studio in Stonyford, County Kilkenny. We've reopened their craft shop today. Small family run business, hand blown glass for over 40 years. Go on, go on, go on, said Joan in Kilkenny. I want to give a shout out to Rafferty Shoe Shop in Ballina. Big smile at the thoughts of a pair of shoes at last. Staff are so welcoming, said Olive. Bernie is back with Bernie's flowers, filling the street with colour and her smile in Camden Street's very own Bernie. Today I went to my local hardware shop, described what I needed, came out with what I know will be a gully riser. Just what I was looking for. Thanks to Martin Hennessy Hardware, 100 years in business in Blessington today. Great to see all the local retailers open for business. Support your wicklow local businesses in West Wicklow, said John Horan. Hi Brenda, had a great day on Saturday in Arnott's. I got makeup, perfume, sandals. Today I shop local in Crimbell in Dunshaughlin. Brenda was my personal shopper. Was I? Anyway, could have been a different one. She was a great help. Putting outfits together for me. It was terrific to have the shops open again, said Patricia Bowden O'Keefe from Tara in County Meath. Brenda, the sheer joy of getting comfortable shoes today at Rafferty's Shoe Shop in Ballina. The owner and staff are so welcoming. Couldn't do enough. It was the biggest treat I've had in months. And I paid for them. Happy me. Hi Brenda, McGonigal from Glendown Craft Shop here in the stunning Inishowen Peninsula, County Donegal, reopened today. We specialise in providing Donegal tweed garments, accessories made here in the shop. We also have Irish made crafts, and we're really looking forward to meeting all the locals and visitors to the shop again. Many thanks, said Anne. Antoinette from the Carpet Depot in Killeen in County Limerick. We're so excited to be back. We love welcoming all our customers, old and new, to our showroom in Kilkee in County Limerick. We're open for business, selling carpets and flooring. We've a huge stock of beds, mattresses ready for delivery. We provide a full fitting service. You got it all in there, Antoinette. Hi Brenda, I want to recommend a fantastic service I got from David of the Listening Suite. Lots of queries regarding of who's buying or otherwise. He gave me his undivided attention, which is more important. That's the Listening Suite. Hi there, I have a Galway business. I sell waterproof changing swimming coat, ponchos, towels and cosy hats, all of which make it easier to connect with the outdoors. My company is Nugadors, N-U-G-O-U-T-D-O-R-S. Our website is nugadors.com. Daily swimming has become a major part of life, so I wanted to develop a product. Well done, you. That's kind regards, Deirdre. And the final one, as I said, we've loads more, is a woman who's launched an online business selling ladies' activewear. Brave or stupid, with the shops open, we have to call it Gym and Track. It can be found on Instagram, Gym and Track. A shout out would be just the shot in the arm we need. And so it goes on. So to everyone who has opened their doors and is back in business, we wish you the very best of luck. Will we take a break or will we go to Chloe? Okay, and I'm delighted because you're somewhere where there's lots of wonderful shops. We have Chloe Agnew. Chloe, how are you this afternoon?
How are you doing? Great to talk to you. Thanks so much for having me.
And where are you? As I said, you're somewhere with great shops.
I'm here actually in Ireland. Yeah, we're at the X Collective Songwriting Camp, which is absolutely fantastic. It's a incredible weekend. Everyone's obviously been COVID tested and all of that, but to actually get to write music with actual human beings is really, really very exciting.
Now, first of all, you have a new single out as part of a supergroup called the X Collective.
That's right.
Okay, so tell me a little bit. You're making the most of intercounty travel and you're at a songwriting camp. What is X Collective?
Absolutely. Yeah, well, it's a global brand new platform for creatives of all kinds, and it's a growing community. We've over 70 different creatives involved in the community at the moment, and it's a brand new Irish music platform, basically, for artists of different genres, primarily neo-soul, rap, hip-hop, pop, R&B. We've got loads of different genres of music in the community, but it's bigger than that. We have, as I said, all sorts of creatives involved with various different skill sets, and to have a community of all of those people amazing. In one place is really amazing.
I was at a songwriting workshop once, and I did it on Jerry Ryan Show. We wrote a song called Leaving Abbey, which is in the Guinness Book of Records as the fastest
fantastic.
Written, recorded and given a song, its first radio play ever. It was called Leaving Abbey, written with the great Liam Riley of Bagatelle.
Oh, of course.
I know.
God,
and John Hurley. But so it's great fun together with all those people. Now, you have a new single, WB.
Indeed.
We're going to hear it in a second.
Yeah, so this is one of the first releases from the X Collective, and it was written by myself and my wonderful songwriting partner, Elle Breslin Zaffo. And we originally wrote this song a couple of years ago, intended as a pitch for a girl group. And then in the spirit of the X Collective, we decided to kind of make our own little mini girl group. So we pulled in incredible talents, Sunita, Toshin and Gemma Bradley, as well as all of the musicians and producers who are involved in the collective, to create this song. And it's exciting. It's a bit sassy, and it's all about girl gang energy. So
I love it. Let's have a taste.
We're really proud of it and excited that it's out there in the world finally. It's been a project, a labor of love for well over 2 years now. And obviously in the nature of last year, we had to shelve it for a while. So to actually get an opportunity to put it out there into the world and have people hear it is really exciting.
Well, let's hear it. That is a taste of Chloe Agnew's new single, WB, with X Collective. It's brilliant, Chloe. Congratulations.
Thank you. We're really excited with how it turned out, and just to be involved in a project primarily featuring women, all women who kind of created and made this project happen is really, really exciting. Like, just to be part of that girl gang vibe for 2021, I'm here for it.
Absolutely. And of course, you have been brought up by a very strong woman, and that is
indeed
your mum, Adele Twink, who I am so fond of. How is she? How have you been getting on?
Like everybody else, it's been a rough ride of a year. It really has, you know. It's shook us all and turned our worlds upside down. We're very thankful to still have our health, thank God, and to have each other to look after one another over the last year. It's been a blessing to be around family. You know, I've been pretty much in the States for the last 15 years. So to actually kind of get to have some quality time here in Ireland, not under the circumstances I would have wanted, but it's been really lovely to have some quality time with mum and my sister and my dad. It's been lovely.
Definitely send her my love no matter what, and all your family,
of course,
but especially your mum.
Eurovision
time tomorrow night. I know you're a fan. It must have been a big thing in your house. I know it was in mine. Do you ever think you'll represent Ireland in the Eurovision someday? Would that be an ambition?
I don't know. My God, it'd be an honour. I don't know. I have never ruled it out. I'm a huge fan of the Eurovision. I absolutely love it. You know, exactly as you said, a tradition since we were children, and a massive fan of Leslie's too. I think what she's doing this year, I'm so thrilled to finally get her to see her have a chance to actually perform it, because it's an incredible track, and as was last year's, but I'm really, really excited for her. So fingers crossed.
I know.
Go
sending
on, Ireland.
Best wishes out to the gang in Balbriggan who'll be supporting her. It's great. I see you missed the road. You're looking forward to getting back out and gigging. And I don't know, yourself and Nathan Carter were sharing the billing for a lot of gigs. Will you
That's
be touring
right,
together
yeah.
again?
We hope so, yeah. We had some stuff lined up in the States last year, and then obviously everything turned upside down. So we're fingers crossed. We can only hope for again next year. I just adore working with Nathan and the boys, his band. They really are some of my favourite people to work with. It's one thing when you get to share the stage with really talented musicians, but it's very special when you get to share it with really, really lovely people. And he works so unbelievably hard, as those all the boys do in the band. They're constantly on the road, and I've just had the best crack touring with them. So please God, bring back the live shows, and I look forward to that. That's next year, and also fingers crossed, Celtic Woman. I'm doing some more touring and some work with them as part of the year anniversary tour, which was supposed to happen last year but got cancelled. So we're pushing things out till 22. But yeah, fingers crossed. I just can't. I think this weekend has just shown me, just being around musicians and making music, you forget how much of an integral part of your makeup and your soul and your how you function every day. Mm. And when you don't have it, then you know you really, it's only when it comes back do you realize how much you really, really missed it and need it.
Well, look, so
I'm looking forward to it. Please God, I hope when things come back, they'll come back bigger and better than ever.
And we'll all be there to see you. Enjoy yourself down there at the songwriting camp with X Collective. It's great to talk to you. Well, that is all from me. Ray is back tomorrow. Big thanks to everybody who worked on the show. Cormac and Sarah are on the way next with Drive Time. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Wash your hands.